Thank you, Ralph. So yes, we're focusing on 1 Corinthians 15 for a while now. Jesus is alive, death is defeated, and so our world and our lives will never be the same again. We're taking a look at this resurrection chapter. The centrality of our faith is resurrection. But Paul has come across some troubling issues going on in the church in Corinth. He says to them, "How can some of you say that there is no resurrection of the dead?" Apparently, some had been saying that. It seems like in the Corinthian church there had been some confusion and doubt about the resurrection. It doesn't appear to be that they doubted that Jesus was raised from the dead. It doesn't appear to be about that they just didn't believe it, or that they were they just found that too difficult to believe, like we might find in our modern world. Their confusion was mainly about what happens to believers when they die. Unlike other parts of this letter, where the Apostle Paul might be open to a couple of different solutions or approaches, for example, eating meat sacrificed as part of idol worship, he says that's up to personal conscience and a personal decision. It's not a hill Paul wanted to die on. But the bodily resurrection of Jesus, which leads to the promise of bodily resurrection for all believers, was and is a matter foundational to faith, foundational to our Christian faith. So Paul put his foot down and he said, he insisted that the Corinthian church come back to their senses and come back to reaffirm the faith that they had been introduced to when they first heard about Jesus. And Paul's willing to die for this truth. And many other early believers were willing to die for this truth. So let's get into what do we mean by bodily resurrection. For Paul, that's the only kind of resurrection. Is bodily resurrection. But for some of the Corinthians, they're new Christians, they have a pagan background. This is a new concept. They're living in and had grown up in an environment that devalued the physical and the material and elevated the spiritual. So people in that time and place tended to believe that the physical world and our physical bodies were the problem. And if we could just get rid of the material, we could escape sin and suffering. Contemporary spirituality then, and maybe a little bit now, was all about seeking spiritual experiences, all in the hopes of getting rid of the prison of the body once and for all. Hope for people in that area and in that time was about escaping physical limitations and attaining to higher and purer spiritual realities. Now, Paul, who understands the world that they're living in, is also intimately familiar with the Old Testament, the Hebrew Scriptures, his Bible. And he says, "Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute, Corinthians. God created this world. And God said it's good. And when God was all done, God said it's very good. Yes, broken and marred by sin and death, but still God's beautiful creation." Paul then reminds these believers in Corinth about what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead in his body. When Jesus appeared to his disciples after his resurrection, I don't think it's an accident that we are told that he was eating fish and showing them his scars. Those details are included to help the new believers understand this isn't some vision or some sort of spiritual experience. Jesus had a resurrected body. And as Jesus was raised from the dead, bodily, We who believe will also be raised. Not in some sort of spiritual sense. I'm doing a lot of weird hand motions today. But in physical bodies, we will be raised. Philippians chapter 3, Paul puts it this way to some other, the other church he was writing to. The Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring all things under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. So renewed bodies, restored bodies, no more pain, no more loss and grief, no more illness and death, no more or disease, no more getting tired, no more being disabled and limited, and best of all, no more death. Renewed, restored bodies. For Paul, bodily resurrection is the only kind of resurrection, and it's essential to our faith. It's critical. So for the new believers in Corinth, this meant overcoming their lifelong disdain for flesh and dirt and the stuff of the real world. That was kind of hard for them. They had to overcome that. As they grew in Christ, who was raised, and as they got to know their creator, their maker, and the one who had made everything that is. Paul also needed something else for the Corinthians to do. He insisted that they practice patience. Already, Christ has defeated sin and death through his death and resurrection. Decisive victory. It's done. And yet, even as Christ has been raised already, the Corinthian Christians, and still today, we struggle with the in-between time. Paul said, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. Paul uses the image of a harvest to describe this, the world-changing event of the resurrection. Christ's resurrection is the first fruits, the very beginning of the harvest. We will be raised from the dead. That's the rest of the harvest, as the believers throughout all time will be raised. So it's one harvest, but we have to be patient. We need to wait. To the Thessalonian Christians, who were also confused about this topic, he wrote, "We believe that Jesus died and rose again, and so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him." We've established that Jesus has been raised already, and we believe that God will bring with Jesus all who have died in Christ. And we're still waiting, and we're still trusting in God's promise. The truth underlying all of this is God's amazing plan to bring us into Christ by making Christ like us first. Early church leader Irenaeus said, "He became as we are so that we might become what he is." And Paul kind of says a version of that in verse 21, starting in verse 21. "For since death came through a man, the resurrection of the dead comes also through a man. For as in Adam all die, so in Christ all will be made alive." Well, what this means is that going way back, sin impacted all of humanity, starting in Genesis 3 with Adam and Eve. And the curse of sin was reversed for all of humanity when Jesus showed us what it really means to be human, when he lived for us and he died for us and he rose from the dead. He became as we are so that we might become what he is, which we kind of tremble at the thought. We try to wrap our minds around that as the psalmist in Psalm 8:4 says, "What are mere mortals that you are mindful of them? Human beings that you care for them." We're in awe that we are part of God's amazing plan. So remember that Easter does not end on Easter Sunday. this harvest is ongoing, and we too will be raised with Christ and restored to God's intentions for us. God cares for us and has included us in his cosmic plan. So in conclusion, what we want to take away from today, Paul says this is absolutely critical for our Christian faith. Christ has indeed been raised from the dead, and that means we will rise. We will be raised from the dead because he rose first. N.T. Wright said, death must be, and in this, the Messiah has been and will be defeated. Death must be defeated, and in the Messiah has been and will be defeated. It's both has been and will be, and we're waiting and trusting. So as we struggle with the ups and downs of life, we rely on this promise and hope. As we grieve what death takes from us, we wait for the resurrection of the dead. As we struggle with our own health, physical, mental, etc., we look forward to restored bodies and renewed life as Creator God intended for us from the very beginning. Paul says that a faith without this hope is not the Christian faith at all. And he laments the futility of such a faith that provides hope only for this life. But good news, Christ has indeed been raised from the dead. And God is not finished yet. In Christ, all will be made alive. God will destroy every enemy and all opposition, and God will reign forever and ever and ever. And in Christ, all who are in Christ will remain in his loving care forever. I invite you to continue to worship the Lord with us today.